President Truman's remarks at the Electric Consumers Conference held at the Willard Hotel, 26 May 1952.
A few months ago, in the midst of an important legislative battle, the president said that the consumers were so poorly organized that he, the president, was virtually the only consumer representative in Washington. Harry Truman has always been a stalwart fighter for the rights of the people and the protection of the consumer. Mr. President, here today are representatives of many millions of consumers. It's an honor to present to you the President of the United States.
Happy to meet with this conference of farm, labor, and consumer groups. I'm a little bit hoarse. I've been talking to the Big Four. Two members of the House and two members of the Senate. I couldn't afford to let them out talk me. What Mr. Lincoln has said is true for the 155 million people. Now we have some distinguished senators and representatives in this town who represent the consumers in their districts. But I'm the only person who represents the whole 155 million, the people who haven't any pull or any lobby. I'm their pull and I'm their lobbyist. And when they know how to get to me, I try to help them as best I can. We have two gentlemen here who are looking out for the interests of the people. I can tell you that, I know. You've come out here to protect the interests of the American people in their own electric power resources. I want to emphasize that these power resources belong to the people of the United States and not to anybody else. You're here as consumers, as people who need and want electric power for your homes, your farms, and your businesses. I hope this conference will speak out for the interest of the power consumers. That's most important. There's a terrible barrage of propaganda going around these days on behalf of the poor private power producers. These poor private power monopolies are asking for a fight. And I hope you'll give it to them, and I'll join in with you. One of the first things I got into when I came here to the United States Senate in 1935 was to be on Senator Wheeler's holding company committee. I presided over it part of the time, and I heard all the weeps and wails and everything that's possible from the people who were trying to repeat just what they were doing at that time. We passed the Holding Company Act, and that Holding Company Act was in the interest of the people and the consumers. Now let's keep that interest up because it's absolutely necessary. I hope you'll figure out ways and means of answering their propaganda and showing the American people and the Congress what the real facts are. Propaganda can never face facts. I proved that conclusively in 1948. This won't be easy. The private power companies are spending millions and millions of dollars on their propaganda program. They've hired a lot of high-priced talent, advertising agencies, and so-called public opinion research organizations. And they're running what I call a most vicious campaign. And I haven't got anything now against private ownership of industry. I want to see the industry of this country in the hands of private ownership. But I don't want that private ownership, which is partly a public institution, to have the throat hold on the people whom they serve. That's all I'm fighting. (Clears throat) That private power company propaganda campaign is based on the old theory to scare the people, of trying to frighten and confuse them instead of arguing on the basis of facts. There's no question that this is the theory of the power company's vicious propaganda. They say so themselves in the literature they distribute privately among themselves. You see, they went about this very scientifically. First, they started out with a public opinion survey. One of these Roper surveys, you know. Or Gallup, either one, I don't care which one you pick. I always think, when I think about public opinion surveys, I always remember what Mr. Roper said on the 9th day of September, 1948. He said, I'm taking no more polls and I'm making no more comment because the election's over. And it's no use holding an election, going to the expense. They just well swear Mr. Dewey in now and be done with it. He's been apologizing about that since. You see, they went about this very scientifically. First, they started out with a public opinion survey. They asked a lot of people what they thought of TVA. And most people said it was a wonderful thing. Then they asked people what they thought of public power. And most people said that is all right, too. Well, this surprised the power companies. It didn't surprise me, and I don't suppose it surprised anyone here. It simply meant that most people know what's good for them when they have the facts in front of them. Then the company agents asked people what they thought of socialism. And of course, most people said we're against it. Naturally, they would say that. You, of course, know the tale about a couple of men discussing socialism. One of them was a socialist and the other one wasn't. First man said, John, if you had $1 million, would you divide it with me? Sure, said Sam. Well, said John, if you had a couple of pigs, would you give me one of them? Said, now, John, you know I've got a couple of pigs. At this point, the private companies said, ah, all we have to do is to convince the people that TVA and public power and all the things people think are good for them are all part of some big plot to socialize the country. You see, my political opponents don't have any issues on which to hang their hats, and so they go out and dig up some things that they use for propaganda. Socialism's one of them. And these power companies and the American Medical Association are just tickled to death to have a thing like that. They go around talking about that, but they don't tell you the facts. And that's exactly what they've been trying to do ever since they made those surveys. Private power companies are spending millions and millions of dollars on this campaign. They're sponsoring nationwide radio programs, which cost them many thousands of dollars every week. They're running full-page ads in the big magazines month after month. You know that just one full-page ad in Mr. Clare Booth Loose Life magazine cost $17,000? And one in the big corporation-controlled Saturday Evening Post cost $12,000. They're turning out pamphlets and leaflets and canned editorials for the score and spreading them around the country. One of their advertising agencies actually boasted that their technique was so successful that ministers included search notices, and some of their propaganda was posted on the bulletin boards of the Boy Scouts. What these private power companies are actually doing is deliberately and in cold blood setting out to poison the minds of all our people. They make no bones about it. Their own manuals say that their purpose is to influence the mass mind in this country by playing on people's emotions. The mass mind, what a horrible phrase. I think it's one of the most horrible phrases in the language. They think of the individual human beings in this great country as parts of a mass mind. They set out to play upon the emotions of churchgoers and Boy Scouts and school children. They try to control the people's thoughts by using slogans and scare words. They've taken the leaf right out of the books of Karl Marx and Adolf Hitler. They're following the Soviet and the fascist line. This is nothing less than an attack on the fundamental principles of our democratic country. Instead of letting people make up their own minds on the basis of the facts and the truth, this private power company propaganda is deliberately designed to conceal the facts and to manipulate people's opinions by the appealing to their emotions and not to their reason. Now, I've got an ad here out of a magazine paid for by the Wisconsin Power and Light Company. And it says, "Do you want to pay for a government honeymoon at Niagara Falls?" They're trying to make you believe that if the control the power of Niagara Falls and do it in the public interest without any cost to the public. Now, if you believe that, you're more naive than I think you are. They don't stop to think that an investment of the federal government in a project of that kind is an investment for the people of the whole United States. And it is an investment and a self-liquidating investment. I want to say to you that these great power dams which we've built in the Northwest and in the TVA are an investment that belong to the people of the United States, and the people are getting the benefit from them. Now, I don't object to the power companies making a profit, but I do object to their skinning the life out of the people. In this ad here, they don't say anything about profits. They imply that if the private power people could build this, there wouldn't be any cost to the public at all. Well, now, you know what the cost would be. You all remember the North American Holding Company, and you all remember the electric bond and share, which had 163 companies, and even Hobson himself couldn't tell which one end of him was up when he got on the witness stand up there before that committee. Same thing was true of all the rest of these things. Now, what they're trying to do is to restore that situation. These power companies are public institutions. There's not a single one of them in the cities that is not a monopoly. And they're there because the people allow them to be there. They are regulated by the public service commissions of the states, and they owe a duty to the public. I wonder why they don't talk about Nebraska and Seattle, Washington, and Tacoma, and Kansas City, Kansas, and Independence, Missouri. You know, we have a municipal plant on each side of the Kansas City Power and Light Company, and that's the only way we've been able to keep the rates of the Kansas City Power and Light Company at a reasonable figure. When I was running the county back there, we used to assess these people as to how they perform. And they had another set of figures, which is 4 or 5 times as great as the ones on which they paid taxes, on which they based their rates. I tried my best to get the legislature of Missouri to say that rates and taxes ought to be on the same figures. But they had too big a pull with the Missouri legislature, and I couldn't get it done. Now, I'm not going to go into this thing in detail, because sometime soon, when the whistle stop campaign starts, I'm going to go out and give you all the facts with regard to this power situation. Nebraska has not a single private power company in it. They're all municipally owned. You don't hear them talk about that. Seattle owns this plant. Tacoma owns this plant. And I told you about Kansas City, Kansas, and Independence, Missouri, keeping Kansas City, Missouri out of a straitjacket. I think that you people ought to do everything you possibly can to get the facts on such things as this. And I think also there may be something going wrong under the Corrupt Practices Act. Through the rates that these companies charge, you're paying for that. And the tax collections of the government are not so great because they charge these off as expenses of operation. I think I'll ask the Attorney General when he gets in office, and I've had a hard time getting the Attorney General. Take a look at this situation and see if the Corrupt Practices Act doesn't apply. You know, I didn't intend to make you a political speech, but since I've got to that point about the Attorney General, I can't help but make a remark that they're always saying that there's corruption in the government. Well, now there's no such thing. There have been several collectors and one or two other fellows gone wrong. Whenever it's come to the attention of the president, he's fired them and ordered a grand jury investigation, and some of them are being prosecuted, and some of them have already been sentenced to penalties. Attention to the fact that we did have corruption in government, and nothing was done about it until a committee of the Senate dug up the Teapot Dome scandal, and they had to go to work on it. Nobody's had to force me to do what's right to keep the government straight and square. Never will have to. I didn't come down here to talk about that because that's another whistle-stop subject I'm going to discuss. I'm glad you're here. I'm trying to call your attention to the fact that you're on the right track. And what I said to Murray Lincoln about the consumers not being represented and their interests not being represented except by such congressmen and senators who really have the pip of an interest at heart should get themselves together and come down here, because there are so many more of you than there are of these private power companies. You can make them stand on their heads if you want to. Thank you very much.